You are Locked On Raiders, your daily Oakland Raiders podcast. Just part win. Of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your just team win. Every day.
Just win. Just win.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are back in another episode of the Locked On Raiders podcast. It is Monday, February 18th, 2019. Hopefully everybody had a good weekend. I'll tell you right now, talk about weekend. Man, I had a super busy weekend. Matter of fact, it started on Friday about, 10 a.m. Central Time. I actually do PA for Baylor softball, and they had an actual tournament. So it was 10 games. So I had to do PA for 10 games. So all weekend long, like Friday, 4 games. Saturday, 4 games. Sunday, 2 games. And then, I was able to kind of rest the rest of Sunday. And I know someone's right there saying, oh, Q, poor you. You actually got to go cover some more sports. That's what you love doing anyway. You're right. But I'll tell you right now, man, after 10 games in 3 days, I was tired of talking. But guess what? I get to do it again this upcoming weekend. So, yeah, hey, man, if you ain't working, you're doing something wrong, right? So that was my sob story for the weekend. That's what I did all weekend long. But, again, it was a lot of fun, so I'm not mad at that. And Baylor softball has a pretty good team. So, getting to see a bunch of new teams roll into the stadium and, I get to say their names and have some parent mad at me because I say their kid's name wrong. Don't wait till the third game. This is one thing I will caution you, Raider Nation. If you ever go watch your kids play anywhere – at anything, and they get their name announced wrong, incorrectly, it's not because the PA guy is doing it on purpose. It's because the PA guy don't know how to say their name, and it's probably not a pronunciation guide. And so there was one team from Southern Miss, and they didn't have a pronunciation guide. So I got their names wrong, and the parent finally came and told me that I was saying the name wrong, and the third time they played, the third game. Why didn't you tell me in the first game? I could have got that right. But anyway, that's the problem of the PA guy. But it's all good. Again, I had a fun time, and they weren't really mad at me. But they're like, hey, you know that you say her name Frugé? No, I didn't. You know why I didn't know? Because nobody told me. And if I had known, I would have said it correctly. Again, there's other things I could have done to get it right, I know. But nobody said anything, so I thought it was right. Anyway, that's my little side note, little asterisk. Raider Nation, if you ever go watch somebody play or your kid play or somebody you even know and the PA guy is saying the name wrong, don't get mad at him. The PA guy is not doing it on purpose. He wants to be right. Just go tell him, hey, this is how you say it, and it's all good. And then he'll get it right. I promise. At least that's what I do. Anyway, moving on. Now let's get to some Raider talk, right? And this isn't really Raider talk. Over the weekend, ex-Raiders GM Reggie McKenzie, he landed a senior personnel executive role with the Miami Dolphins. So basically, he wasn't out of work very long. Remember, the Raiders fired him almost at the end of the season. They said he could hang on till the end of the season if he wanted to. He chose to leave. That's fine. Good for Reggie. He lands with the Miami Dolphins. Again, senior personnel executive role. I don't even know exactly what that means, but obviously it has to do with talent evaluation. And, he had his moments. He had his moments where he did some really good things, and he had his moments where he just didn't do some really bad things. Usually the second round. Second round for Reggie McKenzie was never really that good. I mean, he did land Derek Carr in round two, but besides that, most of his round two draft picks weren't very good. Some of his free agent signings weren't very good. Some of them were good. I mean, there's things that Reggie McKenzie did really well, and there's certain things that he kind of struggled in. What he did do really well is structure contracts. I will say that. He structured contracts really, really good and allowed the Raiders to be in the position that they're in right now this upcoming summer or this offseason when free agency starts to have all that money in available. He made that happen with his contracts, and they could still get out of a bunch of the contracts and even have even more money. So he structured that very well. He took care of the cap for the Raiders, and so I think the Raiders will always be in debt to him for that. And it's funny I say debt because it was the cap that was in total hell when he took over, and he cleared out all kind of cap space. So, congratulations to Reggie McKenzie landing with the Dolphins. I will say what that means to me. The Dolphins are a team that's looking for a quarterback, so I would not be surprised if if they do decide that they want to go out and get a veteran quarterback, I wouldn't be surprised if someone inside the Dolphin building gives a call to John Gruden and Mike Mayock and ask about Derek Carr. Again, I'm not trying to trade off Derek Carr. I'm not trying to get rid of him, but I wouldn't be surprised. I know the Dolphins are going to be looking for a quarterback this offseason. If they want to go the veteran route instead of drafting a guy, they might go and make a call to Derek Carr. Obviously, Reggie McKenzie knows what Carr does really well and knows what he doesn't do really well. Also, what Reggie McKenzie knows is anyone who may be on the outs, anyone who John Gruden doesn't think is a good player who he may be trying to move on from, Reggie McKenzie could be sitting there in the Dolphins' ears, and the front office guys in the Dolphins, their ears, and saying, hey, this guy's on the way out, this guy's on the way out, we can get this guy for a cheap pick. You know, these guys are probably available because I know that they don't sit well with Coach John Gruden. So if you start seeing the Raiders and Dolphins do some trades, that's exactly why, because Reggie knows who's on the outs and who's not. Now, again, I don't know if they want anybody on the roster. I'm just saying, as a side note, that could possibly happen. But again, just congratulations to Reggie McKenzie for landing on his feet, getting a nice little gig with the Miami Dolphins senior personnel executive role. Also, over the weekend, and I think this really started Friday evening. Actually, we started talking about it on Friday's podcast, and we're talking about the stadium situation, where the Raiders will play in 2019. And I said, hopefully something will happen over the weekend and we can make an announcement on Monday. Well, nothing happened as far as it came official, you know, and the Raiders are going to play in Oakland in 2019 for sure. But it really, really sounds like it's really close. According to Michael Gelkin of the Las Vegas Review-Journal, things look really, really good. Some personnel people from the Raiders and officials from the city of Oakland have met, and you know, they sound like they're getting really close, and it sounds like something could be done this week. So sometime this week, there may be an announcement on the Raiders playing in Oakland in 2019. And not only that, it sounds like from what I've read, that the Raiders will even have an option for 2020 just in case the stadium in Vegas is not done. And I know someone right now is saying, oh, but it's going to be done. Yeah, most likely. Most likely it will be done. But, you know, the Rams in Charger Stadium got pushed back a little bit due to weather. So you never know what can happen. I mean, you can't cause weather to act a certain way. You can't account for, like, natural disasters or anything like that. So you just don't know. So just in case something were to happen, it sounds like the Raiders would also have an option to play in Oakland in 2020. Funny that it sounds like they could play nice all of a sudden. I don't know what happens, but it sounds like they're starting to play nice with each other. Kind of wish they had done that a long time ago and got the deal done in Oakland and just built that stadium right there. But again, I don't want to open up that can of worms. We all know how I feel about that. And we all know that the Raiders will have an awesome stadium once they open it up in Vegas. And that's, you know, that ship has already sailed, so I don't need to backtrack and do all that. But it sounds like they're starting to play nice with each other. It sounds like we're going to come to a conclusion to this pretty stinking soon. And I think that's the best thing anyway. I think that's the best move, is the fact that they sound like they're going to be playing in the city of Oakland in 2019. Obviously, they don't have a whole lot of options left. That Birmingham and Tucson, Arizona thing was never an option, in my opinion. San Francisco, that was a stupid option. You know, and people are mad at the 49ers for not giving up their territorial rights. Why would they? Why would they give up their territorial rights? I wouldn't give up my territorial rights to a rival. And I'm not saying that the 49ers and Raiders are absolute rivals, but that's their market. Why am I going to give up my market to you because you got a stadium problem? I wouldn't do that either. So I ain't mad at the 49ers for doing that. And again, if they're going to play on a baseball field, it might as well be Oakland Coliseum, right? As far as I'm concerned. So, yeah, that's all good. It sounds like that's coming to a conclusion pretty soon. And that embarrassment and that stink from not having a stadium and not having a home, being homeless, can go away. So that'll be a good thing. So that's kind of a little bit of news and notes I wanted to open up today's podcast with. Tell you how my weekend went. Hopefully you had a good weekend. Let you know about Reggie McKenzie, where he landed on his feet, and that we're getting closer and closer to a deal being done with the city of Oakland for the Raiders to play there in 2019, possibly 2020, if need be. Don't think they're going to need it, but just in case, it's nice to have some options, isn't it? So you're not sitting there next year saying, well, I don't know we're going to play in 2020 because the stadium's not done yet. I don't know what to do. You know what I'm saying? So that's that. Coming up in segment number two, and also in segment number three today, I got a lot of calls, a lot of reaction from different calls that you heard on the podcast last week, from Vader Raiders call to Raider Baconators call, from my interview with Chris Plank. Just a lot of reaction, a lot of talk. I got all that coming up in segment number two and segment number three here on the Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we are, segment number two of the Locked On Raiders podcast on this Monday, February 18th, 2019. Your boy Q. You can always hit me on Twitter at your boy Q254. And before I get into a call or any calls that I got off the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, I always tell you guys about my Twitter, and I always tell you can hit me up and say whatever you want to say, and it's all good. And a lot of times I don't really speak on the tweets that I get and messages. Sometimes I get messages, somebody will like point out something that they heard on the podcast and they want to either set me straight or they want to chime in or something like that. So I got to show some love to my Twitter as well. At your boy Q254, my man Matthew Ellis, he actually sent me a tweet, and it was last Thursday, and that was right after he listened to the interview with Chris Plank that I did. And Chris Plank is from Sooner Sports Radio up in Oakland, in Norman, Oklahoma. And so he knows a lot about Kyler Murray. He's been around him for a long time. We had a really good discussion. Again, I can't promote that podcast any more than I already have, but if you have not heard that interview with Chris Plank, really, really good one. Just a couple guys talking Raiders, and he had some great insight. I had some little bit of inside shot back and forth. It was really the Chris Plank Show. It was awesome. And you could always follow him on Twitter as well, at Plank Show. Good dude, a good radio dude. He also does Fox Sports Radio nationally. I mean, just all around hell of a dude. And he's going to be back on the podcast probably close to draft time. And I know a lot of people liked that interview. A lot of people reached out and said something. But Matthew Ellis, he shot me a direct message on Twitter the other day. And I was talking about Kyler Murray and his size and how everybody's been comparing him to Russell Wilson. And I'm just one of those guys that's like, no, Russell Wilson is taller and he's thicker, so I don't think that that's a good comparison. And I understand why people are saying that, because he's a shorter quarterback. He also has the baseball background, you know, and he has a scrambling ability. And so I get that he's a winner. He's definitely a winner. Russell Wilson is, I mean, A1 winner. So I totally get that. So on that interview with Chris Plank, I said, I don't think that that's fair. That, you know, all these draft gurus, guys like Daniel Jeremiah, Bucky Brooks, they're comparing him to Russell Wilson because I don't think that he's as thick as Russell Wilson, which he's not. He's only like 195 pounds, even though I heard the other day he weighed like 205. But look, his size is always going to be something that's talked about, either height or weight. So anyway, he tweeted at me and said, hey, I'm listening to today's pod, and Move the Sticks, who's Daniel Jeremiah on Twitter, has always said he's not as thick as Russell Wilson. And so I responded and said, yeah, he has, but he keeps comparing Murray to Wilson. I think that's not a fair comparison. And I probably worded that incorrectly by saying not a fair comparison, because it makes it sound like he's slighting him or something, or Russell Wilson's being slighted. So I probably worded it incorrectly. But then he responded and said, no. Well, who would you compare him to? I think it's fair. Both shorter, both can scramble, both are elusive, both have baseball backgrounds. Russ is thicker and a bit taller, but otherwise their game is similar, just my opinion. Great stuff. That was great stuff right there from Matthew Ellis. And again, I don't know, I feel like Russell Wilson is a lot bigger than Kyler Murray. But again, I could be wrong. I don't think he's 5'10", but others say he is, you know? So, I mean, it's one of those situations, but I tell you all that to tell you, I appreciate every response I get through Twitter or on the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. It is all good. So, Matthew Ellis, I appreciate you reaching out to me. And like I said, as always, man, feel free to reach out at any time. Now, with that being said, let's hit these calls off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Always wide open like some TV antennas, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Don't matter what time you're listening to the podcast, anytime you want to respond, don't worry. You're never going to wake me up or disturb me or anything like that. You can hit that line anytime, 707-654-4693. Let's start things off with Marco Raider. He's actually responding to Vader Raider's call about Derek Carr and him not being tough. He also talks about his most hated guys, and he's got a really good one. But, you know, if he gives us a hated guy, he's got to give us one that he loves too, right? Yeah, he does. Here's Marco Raider.
Hey, Q. This is Marco Raider. Hey, first off, I want to call and say, you know, love what you do with Black Hole Banner and on this podcast. Good stuff. Next, I'm a little behind, but I got to pause, and I'm calling in on based off of what Vader Raider has had to say. You know, I like you, Vader Raider, and I like a lot of stuff you say sometimes, but man, saying that Carr is weak because of, you know, his religious background, I don't think it's really that accurate or fair to say. I mean, man, have you ever looked at Phillip Rivers? That dude's got like 16 kids. And he's ripping dudes' faces off. All right. That's all I want to say about that. Going into most hated, man, right now for me, I got one, and that's Gene Effin Serator. Man, every time I see that guy on TV, he's always, all I can think about is his smug-ass face. And damn freaking index card. Ugh, can't stand him. Can't stand dude right now. And then most loved, you know, I got to go with Tim Brown. Growing up, watching him make plays, dude's just an animal. All right. Peace out.
Good stuff right there. Good stuff. Keep this thing rolling. Vader Raider in 303. He stirs it up a lot. Not saying he stirs it up in a bad way, but, you know, he's very opinionated, calls quite often, and it's all good. Has a lot of good stuff to say. This time he's calling to talk about Tom Flores and Jim Plunkett, how both of them are not in the Hall of Fame. Vader Raider actually has a call to action for Raider Nation. Here he is.
What's up, Q? What's up, Raider Nation? Your boy, Vader Raider. Hey, Nation, just kind of want to get it out there. We need to keep a campaign kind of going the whole year for Coach Flores. It's really important, Raider Nation, that we do this because this man needs to be in the Hall of Fame. And after that, his quarterback needs to be in the Hall of Fame as well. I really think that we need to kind of, anytime you can, go to at PFF or the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And, tweet at them. Let them know. Tom Flores and Jim Plunkett both need to be in the Hall of Fame. It's an absolute injustice that these two fine Hispanic Americans who, you know, gave so much to the game and, you know, have absolutely gotten no respect whatsoever. It's embarrassing. I mean, these men gave us two Super Bowl championships and they deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. If you're talking about Champ Bailey, who never won a Super Bowl, and Tony Gonzalez never won a Super Bowl, and, oh, they got all these great stats, but we measure the Hall of Fame by championships also. These men have two rings. And Coach Flores, okay, Coach Flores has given so much to the game. I mean, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing the riches he's given and what he gave. And we need to get him in. And as far as my personal favorite quarterback, Jim Plunkett, we need to get him in, too, because he's not only a Heisman Trophy winner, and sure, maybe he doesn't have quite the stats of some of these other quarterbacks, but he does have two Super Bowl rings, and, you know, he was a Super Bowl MVP, so I don't know. I don't know what the criteria is, but we need to get him in. Anyway, Q, thanks again for that interview yesterday. Man, I could listen to you two guys talk all day long. Anything that benefits the Oakland Raiders, and I'm still calling them that until next year, it's fine by me, and I could listen to it for hours. Anyway, Raider Nation, Q, have a great weekend. Vader Raider, out.
Good stuff right there from Vader Raider in the 303. And, yeah, I definitely believe Tom Flores should be in the Hall of Fame. Jim Plunkett probably should be in as well. I will say, I'm not sure, and I'll ask John McClain this on Friday. It'll be one of those things that I jot down, and when I talk to him, oh, man, I don't think I'll be on the show on Friday. Anyway, next time I talk to John McClain, maybe I'll just have to shoot him a text and ask him. But I don't believe that if you tweet at the Pro Football Hall of Fame and try to, you know, push and get a call of action to get him in, I'm not sure exactly what that does. I'm not even sure who that really goes to. I got to ask him that process again. That'll be one of those things, man. I'll get John McClain to explain the whole process of who gets into the Hall of Fame, because he's been on record of saying that he thinks that Tom Flores should be in. But the problem is, this is what John McClain told me, and I had it on the podcast a couple weeks ago. He said that he thinks that he should be in the Hall of Fame. The problem is, the longer it takes for him to get in, he's like, what did we learn the next year about Tom Flores that we didn't know this year? What changes things? What makes, you know what I mean? So the longer that he's still out there and not in, it just decreases the chances of him getting in, which, duh, we know that. But it's just one of those things, you know, they all get in that room together and they sit there and present everyone and try to make the case for it. But it's like, if I presented Tom Flores this year and he didn't get in, am I going to go back next year and present him and they're going to put him in? You know what I mean? So that's why John was saying that there should be, or coaches should be in the contributors part of the Hall of Fame. That they should be on the contributors part of the ballot, because it'll help coaches like him get in, coaches like Jimmy Johnson get in, because both of those guys clearly should be in. But yeah, so I will ask John McClain. Maybe I'll get him one day. I could just grab him for 5 minutes just to talk Hall of Fame and just have it on the podcast as well. I'll try to work on that. He's a really good dude, and he's a Hall of Fame He's a Hall of Fame voter, so he knows what he's talking about. So Vader Raider, appreciate that. Now, oh man, next call, Victor and Cali. He calls twice, but this is his first call. He's talking about Derek Carr, the big debate with him that's been going on this podcast. So here's Victor in Cali.
Hey, Q, it's Victor from Cali. I wanted to call in. You know, this Derek Carr debate just keeps going on and never dies. I listened to 5 minutes of Raider Baconator and everything on your last podcast. I want to address one thing. First of all, Rich Gannon was not the last good quarterback the Raiders had. We had Carson Palmer for a minute, but in 2012. Now, he only went 4-12 because, again, the Raiders had a bad team and a bad team around him. Didn't mean Carson Palmer was a bad quarterback. The very next year, he went to Arizona, led them to 10-6, almost to the playoffs. He went in the middle of 2013. In 2014 and 2015, led them to the playoffs. 2014, with 11-5 record. Same quarterback, better team. So, you know, there's a lot of similarities there. You put a good team around Derek Carr, he's going to lead you to the playoffs. He's that good of a quarterback. He's not a 4-12 quarterback. The other point I wanted to make is, I got a call coming in. Sorry, Q.
All right, now it's funny. Victor and Callie got distracted. Had another call on the line, so he had to go. That's pretty funny. But in that call, he said Carson Palmer was the last good quarterback that the Raiders had and not Rich Gannon. And I'm sorry, Victor and Callie, I totally respect your opinion all the time, but I have to 100% disagree. And maybe the reason I disagree with that is because when the Raiders got Carson Palmer, remember, he was sitting on his couch at home in Cincinnati, and Hugh Jackson's dumb self came up off of a first-round draft pick. First-round draft pick to get Carson Palmer off the couch. The guy wasn't even working. And he gave up a first-round draft pick and then immediately threw him into the lineup. Oh, yeah, he's going to go out there and play right away. And he just wasn't, in my opinion, that good. I didn't think he was that great in Arizona either, to be honest. And maybe it's just because Carson Palmer left a really, really bad taste in my mouth. I didn't think he was that good in Arizona. I thought he was decent. And the fact that Bruce Arians is really, really good at what he does, I think that helped him out. And I think we'll see that this year. With Bruce Arians taking over in Tampa Bay, I think Jameis Winston's going to have a really good year, but that's going to be because Bruce Arians knows what he's doing. Look, everywhere Bruce Arians has been, look what's happened to that quarterback. Remember, first of all, he's in Pittsburgh with Big Ben. All right, he guided him immediately in Big Ben's contract, or not contract, but career. Then remember when he's in Indianapolis and he took over when Chuck Pagano had to leave because he had cancer? And Bruce Arians took over and did a great job with Andrew Luck. I mean, everywhere he's been. He's been money. He was really good in Arizona with what I think, in my opinion, is a broke down Carson Palmer. Carson Palmer was broken down when the Raiders got him. I don't agree that he was a good quarterback when the Raiders got him. Now, we could discuss that all day long, but you want to talk about Raiders that I hate? That's one that I hate. And it's not all 100% his fault. A lot of it had to do with what Hugh Jackson gave up for Carson Palmer, but I still can't stand Carson Palmer. I mean, you want to talk about a turnover machine. And even in Arizona, I mean, go back and look at the numbers. He did play well, but look at the turnovers. He threw a lot of interceptions. But again, that's just me talking a little bit of noise. But I totally understand where you're coming from, Victor. And that year, when Jason Campbell got injured, I still remember that game. I was like, man, there goes that season. Hugh Jackson, to his credit, he doesn't know how to run a team because he doesn't know how to have discipline. The team kind of just does whatever. But Hugh Jackson was having a heck of a season. The Raiders were going to go to the playoffs that year if Jason Campbell hadn't got hurt. I mean, really, if Jason Campbell didn't get hurt, I remember that. Oh, I still remember it. He broke his collarbone, right? Yeah, if he didn't break his collarbone, he was putting up big numbers on offense with a bunch of misfits. Remember Denarius, Denarius Moore? Yeah, Denarius Moore. Remember him? Number 17. He was out of the league after he left the Raiders. I think he went to the Jets for a minute and then was gone. Jacoby Ford, remember, he was gone. After he left the Raiders, he was gone. I mean, Hugh Jackson, to his credit, was really doing a lot of good things with a bunch of misfits on that team. I mean, these guys weren't even really guys that should even be in the league playing at a high level, and he figured out a way to get the best out of them offensively. Now, he didn't have no way of trying to discipline his team, led the league in penalties as always. I mean, they were wild, but, I mean, they were getting things done, so you got to give them credit for that. But Carson Palmer, yeah, I can't agree with that one. Anyway, I know you didn't listen to the podcast and hear me ramble about Carson Palmer, so let me go to Victor and Callie's second call. He took that other call, and then he hit me back, and then he wanted to talk about his least favorite Raiders. He brought up some really good ones that I know Raider Nation probably feels the exact same way about, And then his favorite one, or at least his favorite one that he could think of, and it hasn't been brought up. And then to close out the call, he talks AB and what his addition would be for the Raiders.
Hey, sorry, Q. Victor from Cali again. My wife was calling. I had to go. Big distraction. Anyway, enough of that point. I wanted to mention some of my least favorite Raiders over the time. Number one, Todd Marinovich, because he just completely wasted a draft pick for us. We could have picked Brett Favre that year. I think he's right up there with Jamarcus Russell. And then topping the list would probably be Barrett Robbins and Bill Callahan. Barrett Robbins quit on us the night before the Super Bowl, and Bill Callahan was too stupid to change the offense and let John Gruden just destroy the Raiders in the Super Bowl. So those are my least favorite. Probably hard to say who my favorites are. I'd have to go with Lyle Alzado. He's just, to me, the face of the Raiders. Everything that silver and black embodies was in Lyle Alzado. Regarding AB, no way. That guy would be a cancer in the locker room. And I just want to remind everyone what Paul Gunther said. Getting rid of Mac allowed us to free up money so we can get more defensive guys. Why would we give up somebody like Khalil Mack to save all that money to turn around and give it to Antonio Brown? That would be disastrous. So anyway, that's all I got. Thanks, Q.
Good stuff. Two times right there from my man Victor and Cali. Appreciate that. And closing out segment number two today is Smith Raider in the ATL. And this call is the way I have to close segment number two. It's just awesome. He's responding to Raider Baconator's call, right, about Derek Carr. And he does it in, like, story form. He gives us a great story about the Raiders quarterback position. I mean, this is really, really funny. This is good stuff. Smith Raider in the ATL.
What's up, Q? Smith Raider here in Atlanta. Just listened to Raider Baconator's call about Derek Carr, and I always appreciate all the different aspects of it, so I definitely respect his call. But I just wanted to call in and give my my personal perspective on Derek Carr. And if you could, just for the next few minutes, throw all the statistics, all the wins, all the losses, throw it all out the window, and just step back with me for a second. Take yourself back to 2007. For me, I was in high school, working at Baskin-Robbins, slinging ice cream, minimum wage. Aaron Brooks, Andrew Walter, those were our guys. Gives me goosebumps, man. With the first pick in the 2007 NFL draft, the Oakland Raiders select quarterback, Jamarcus Russell, LSU. Yeah, baby! Just win, baby! That's what I'm talking about. That's who I wanted, Pew. That's who I wanted. That boy out of LSU, SEC, Indian style, 20-yard line, blindfold him. He'll throw it 90 yards through the uprights. 6'5", 260 pounds. Yeah, wrap that up. Bring him down. Nope, not happening. Jamarcus Russell is going to extend plays, and he's going to chunk the ball downfield. And all my friends, they're going to eat their words. You know why? Because we're going to win Super Bowl. Al Davis, and I quote, that kid out of LSU, he's going to be great, end quote. I went out with my minimum wage ice cream money, Q, and I bought not one, but two Jamarcus Russell jerseys. One silver and one black. Just win, baby. Commitment to excellence. 10 years went by. But I didn't buy another Raiders jersey. That's how scarred I was. I didn't want to buy a jersey because I don't know who's going to be on the team next year. I don't have enough confidence in anyone to buy a Raiders jersey. Until 2 years ago, Q, Raider Nation. I went out and I found the confidence. And one guy, I found it in Derek Carr, and I said, I'm going to do it. My mindset's changed, and I'm going to buy a Derek Carr jersey. And that's why he has to work out, because I'm not going another 10 years without buying a Raiders jersey, because I don't know who's going to be on the team next season. It's not happening. No more. And that's where I stand with Derek Carr, because if there's just a glimmer of a chance that my positivity towards him can reach him and help him out even just the slightest, then it's totally worth it. It's totally worth it being confident in him. I love Derek Carr. He's going to bring us a Super Bowl. Whew. Just win, baby. It's going to happen. Raider Nation, I love all of you. Q. you. Peace out.
Damn, I really appreciate that one, man. Smith Raider in Atlanta. That was funny. Love that call. Love the way you broke that down. And I'm glad that you said that you worked at Baskin Robbins. I didn't realize that back in the day, Baskin Robbins was my go-to, brother. Back in the day, that was my spot. Cappuccino Blast, chocolate malt made with vanilla ice cream. Yeah, that's, man, I'm telling you. Anytime, and this is me when I was young, anytime like I had a hot date, I would always take her to Baskin Robbins. My dad taught me that one. He used to take me to Baskin Robbins on Sundays all the time, and he hooked me up with those cappuccino blasts or else the chocolate malt made with vanilla ice cream. And so when I thought that I had a hot date and I was trying to impress her, I'd take her to Baskin Robbins. So, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know, but when Smith Raider said Baskin Robbins, I started thinking about that and thinking all the dates I took there. Anyway, good stuff right there, man. I appreciate that, and a great story, and appreciate that one for sure. Coming up in segment number three, I got some more calls off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. This is the Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, here we are. Final segment of the day on today's Locked On Raiders podcast. I'm your boy Q on Twitter, at always, at your boy Q254. Going to start things off today with a man that we haven't heard from in a minute, P.E. in North Carolina. He's actually not talking about Derek Carr. He's talking about the upcoming draft. He cautions what the Raiders cannot do, not who to pick, but what not to do in the draft. Really good detailed call from my man P.E.
Hey, Q, what's going on? This is P.E. from North Carolina, man. What's going on, Raider Nation? Wow, Q. Man, no matter how far we try to get away from the Derek Carr conversation, it seems like we always circle back to it, don't we? And that's interesting, man. But look, I want to talk about something different. I want to talk about the draft today. I've been hearing a lot of calls about people, with people saying who they want us to draft or what position they think we should draft. And all that's fine and good. All that is valid. But the thing I don't want to do is draft another project player. And by project player, man, I mean a player that the organization is planning on changing their position once they get them in the building. You know, we got so many holes to fill. You can't really be mad if we go offense or defense, linebacker or tackle. You know, you can't really be mad because we do need those positions. But what you can get upset about is drafting another project. We don't have time to spend training a guy for a new position as he's trying to come into the NFL. And I know people do it. It's done. But I also know that a lot of times that fails. And we don't have time to wait and see if the guy can make the change. And I'm just going to give a quick example right quick. Brandon Parker. I live in the city that Brandon Parker went to college in, and I know I was born and raised here, and I know a few people in that program. And so the thing with Brandon Parker is he played left tackle his whole career in college and in high school, if I'm not mistaken. But his coaches and the people inside that program thought that he would make a way better left tackle in the NFL than a right tackle. And truth be told, they actually wanted the team to draft him and give him a few years to develop at left tackle, versus somebody drafting him high and trying to put him at right tackle because they didn't feel like he would make a good transition. But they're never going to tell you that at the draft because they, you know, want that guy to get drafted high because it's good for the program. But so that just goes to show, you know, with him switching from left to right, it's a totally different world and it's a hard position to learn. And, you know, he didn't have a good season. And, you know, he may have had a better season at left tackle than he had at right tackle. So, and that's just an example of why in the first four rounds, we don't need a project player. And let me say one more thing about Brandon Parker, too, Q, that I found out. I think it was later on in the season, and it may have even been, what's the guy's name? I can't think of his name now, but the commentator was saying how Brandon Parker's right leg was back, and he was tipping off the fact that it was going to be a pass every time because his leg was so far back, and you can't run block from that position. So the word I heard, Q, was that, you know, even though Brandon Parker, he in his head and the Raiders coaching staff knew that he was tipping off the fact that it was going to be a pass, but in Brandon Parker's mind, the only way he had a chance of even blocking his man was to have his leg back like that because he was so uncomfortable on the right side that if he got in a normal stance, that he wasn't even going to have a chance to block his man. So he figured he'd just, you know, let you know it's a pass, and I'll take my chances on trying to get my hands on you versus getting in a regular stance and not being able to get to you at all. So, and that's just a quick example of, like I said, it can be outside linebacker going to defensive end, whatever the case may be, man. I just don't want to see a player change positions in, you know, when they get to our building. After the fourth round, yeah, you can draft projects because all those guys are pretty much projects. But in the first three, and I say four rounds this year, Q, because our fourth round pick is going to be high too. We don't need another project that we got to wait a year or two to develop. We need some people that's going to come in right away and help us. All right, that's all I want to say about that, Q. And I got a bone to pick with you, man. On one of your earlier podcasts, you said you were talking about the top three women, and you said J-Lo, Janet Jackson, and then you had the nerve to throw Rihanna in there, man. Rihanna ain't bad, but how you going to leave out Holly Berry? If you're going to have a top three, Holly Berry got to be in there somewhere, Q. I mean, that's unacceptable, man. She's still probably top three to this day. Anyway, love the show, Q. Peace out, Raider Nation.
Great stuff from P.E. Love the details and the background on Brandon Parker, who P.E. called a project player, and he's absolutely right. The Raiders cannot draft a project player in the first four rounds. This is the most important draft in the history of the Raiders. So, yes, P.E., I am with you 150%, and I've been told that that's impossible. You can't do anything more than 100%, but I'm going 150 on this one. I absolutely back you up 150%. But then, my man had to call me out for not putting Halle Berry in my top three women list. I did. The other day I said J-Lo was the top of my list. Janet Jackson was next. Great Super Bowl performance, Janet. I'll always love her for that. Matter of fact, that's the most Googled thing ever is Janet Jackson at the Super Bowl. Just going to throw that out there. And then I put in Rihanna because Rihanna's bad. She's super bad. And he said I should have put in Halle Berry. I'll say, man, Halle Berry's fine, but there's something wrong with Halle Berry. And I know that, you know, Janet's got some crazy to her. J-Lo, of course, got some crazy to her. Riri, I'm sure, is crazy. I mean, Barbados. But I just think Halle Berry is on next level crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, at some point, man, I don't know. Someone that fine and she can't keep a man, something is wrong with her. You know what I'm saying? That's always been my thoughts on Halle Berry. I remember her in Monster Ball, I believe. Isn't that when she was laying out on the back porch in the sun? Yeah, I remember that. So I do remember that. But I just think Halle Berry is crazy. That's too much headache for me. Now, J-Lo and Janet, that's fine. I'll roll with the headache on that one. And Rihanna, that'd just be a lot of fun. So I got you, though, P.E. I totally understand where you're coming from. Maybe we could talk about that on another podcast, just talk about our top 10 list of women or whatever. I don't know. Someone right now is rolling their eye. Probably my mom. Like, geez, this boy. I don't know what to do with him. Anyway, sorry, mama. Anyway, let's go to Sean in Salt Lake City. He's calling to respond to Raider Baconator's call about Derek Carr. Pretty good defense that he has here for D.C. And he doesn't really talk about him as a quarterback, but more like a brother. Here's Sean in Salt Lake City.
Hey, what up, Q? What up, Raider Nation? This is Sean from Salt Lake City. I'm just calling in response to Raider Baconator on Friday's podcast. I'm pretty sure a lot of people are going to be calling in on this. And through Twitter and through the podcast, I've called in and tweeted multiple times about how I'm a huge Derek Carr fan, and I'm actually one of those fans, Raider Baconator, that will get pretty defensive when people talk bad on him or give any criticism. And I mean it. I mean this call in a way because I totally agree with Raider Baconator. I don't think that people should be getting so upset with the Romanowski, though I don't like the analogy that he has four rings. I mean, Robert already has how many rings, and you're going to judge his judgment on things? It's just because you have a ring doesn't mean you know everything. But like what Tim Brown said, like, I would take his a little bit more opinion because he deals with quarterbacks a lot more than a Bill Romanowski will. But that's either here or there. But I do agree with you that we should probably, I don't know, maybe tone back on it and just realize that we are Raider fans first, not Derek Carr fans first. But at the same time, I defend him because, one, like you said, is we haven't had someone like him in so long that, yeah, we kind of want to hold on to it, but he's also our guy. I mean, you have all these freaking, I don't know what words I can say on radio, so I'll just say idiots on TV, on ESPN, here and there, that are just talking so much shit on him that it's like, yeah, it's like we're all brothers in the Raider Nation. Derek Carr is one of our brothers. So I'm going to defend him, even though I know he's a dumbass sometimes. He makes these dumb decisions and stuff, but he's proven to me that even though he makes dumb decisions, he can still make plays. He's capable of doing stuff. So that's why I defend him. Yeah, I mean, you can ask my wife. When we're watching games, God, how many times have I spiked the freaking TV remote just thinking about saying, damn you, Carr, or what the hell are you doing, things like that. But I'll turn around and, like, he's still my boy. He's still my quarterback. If we move on from him, will I be upset? Yeah. But will I be excited for another guy? Of course I will, dude. I'm a Raider fan first. But as to why I get upset and defend him, it's because he's a Raider. He's our guy. When I talk to other Raider fans, I don't really get upset about it. I like to hear opinions and all that stuff. But when I'm going on Twitter with other people that aren't Raider fans, then yeah, I'm going to defend them and I'm going to say stuff that don't make sense just because I'm a dumb Raider fan. That's just how I am. Either way, Raider Break Nader, I still think it was a great call, great point. Either way, I'm like I was saying, I'm pretty pumped for the rest of this year. Raider Nation, see you later, guys.
All right, good stuff right there, Sean, Salt Lake City. It's good to hear from him. He wasn't done, though. He actually had to call back again because he called himself an impulse caller. Like, he doesn't just listen to everything and then call and respond to everything. He's like, got to call, pause, or no, listen, pause, call, listen, pause, call. That's what he's going to do. So Sean's calling back, and he's talking about Vader Raider's call, and he's not mad at him. Instead, he thinks he has some great points. Here's Sean in Salt Lake City, call number two.
What up, Raider Nation? What up, Q's? Sean, once again, from Salt Lake City. I'm calling for a second time today just because I should honestly probably just finish podcast before I just kind of impulse call. But again, I'm impulse calling because I just got done listening to back-to-back Vader Raider. First one kind of goes along with Raider Baconator. I'm cool with it. It's awesome. And then the second one, did that get me fired up. Holy hell. Like, he's so right, though. I have a lot of buddies I talk football with, and not one of them can name their backup, their third-string guard, their freaking scout team punters, and how much they make, and this and that. The Raider Nation can. I sure as hell can. It's off-season. It's probably sad because of just how poorly we play. The off-season is one of my favorite times of the year. I love thinking about the scenarios, the possibilities, different things like that. How can this work? And he's dead on. Like, Raider Nation, we are so good at that. I have a couple people who I'll have a little group chat with, and we'll just talk Raiders all day. And it's like, maybe I'm just tooting our horn, but man, we're intelligent. We know what the hell's going on. I don't know why we weren't hired as a GM. They should have just Mark Dave should just look at Twitter every once in a while and go, oh, what should we do with this fourth overall pick? Well, let's go to Twitter. Boom! Picking Josh Allen or whatever, whoever we want at the time. We'll look at the combine first and keep looking at film. But, I mean, Raider DD got me pumped up. Great call, man. Either way, Raider Nation, once again, if you're ready for the season, it's going to be badass. Sean, out.
All right, good stuff right there, Sean, two times. And a man that we haven't heard from in a minute. It's been a minute since we heard this dude's name, Akeem in Oakland. He is back. But you know, all this Derek Carr talk that we've been having, you knew it was going to bring him out at some point. I'm actually surprised most known unknown hasn't called yet, but maybe after hearing Akeem in Oakland, maybe he will. he actually had to stop the podcast as well and call in. He spoke on Max Kellerman, what he had to say about Derek Carr. He was in a real Akeem in Oakland mood for sure. Here he is.
Hey, what's up, Q? What's up, Locked On Raiders fam? Akeem out of Oakland. I just had to pause the pod after listening to Raider Baconator. Raider Baconator, I am right there with you. Thank you for hitting everybody with the facts. An average of 6 wins per season, yet I've just been listening, and I'm just like, I've literally rewatched Raider games because I'm like, why is everybody crowning Derek Carr as if he's elite? I literally called my dad. I told my dad to listen to the pod after I heard, I forget who it was, but after the Super Bowl, somebody got from the Super Bowl that had Derek Carr. I was like, are you serious? No, Derek Carr wouldn't have done any better. Derek Carr's not better than Jared Goff. Like, where are we? Oh, my goodness. I don't know. Like, I really do not understand it. Well, Q, you hit on it. You said that the Raiders haven't had a good quarterback in a long time, okay? Neither have the Lions. So you pay a mediocre quarterback, franchise quarterback money, and your franchise is stuck because you can no longer allocate those funds elsewhere to help your team. We have an average quarterback. Hey, 6 wins. I'm like, that makes perfect sense. But I really, you guys know, I'm not really a big Derek Carr fan. And honestly, I wanted to call in on what Max Kellerman had said. Max Kellerman called himself in. I think he showed it. I think Derek Carr certainly showed it. Whenever anybody says, and to me he looks a bit phony. Whenever anyone says anything about the Raiders, Derek Carr gives a very vanilla, generic, oh, yeah, we got to try better. As soon as someone insults him personally, just the comments that he made, I was like, whoa, is this really the guy who, yeah, it just seems so fake. I was like, oh, okay, show me who you really are. So he personally came at Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman, and he said, I'd love to talk football with these guys. I'll show how incompetent they are. They extend the invitation to him. What does he do? He declines, and he goes on Golic and Wingo show? No, go on their show like you just said and make them look bad. Oh, yeah, you don't want to. Then you challenge him to a fight. Like, what is this, Derek Carr? Was Max Kellerman lying? But if my job was to observe the NFL and I saw a team go 1-8, yeah, I'd probably stop watching that team. I don't see where Max Kellerman was wrong. I really, really don't. But with that being said, I'm a Raider fan. I had to watch. And, yeah, it doesn't get much better. Like, we sound crazy. Oh, he had so many yards. Of course. It's a passing league. Of course he had a lot of. Like, I don't understand the yards. I really don't. He averaged $1 million a touchdown. That's not good. Oh, my goodness. Okay, I'll stop talking Derek Carr. I hope everybody had a great weekend. Go Raiders.
I will say, he did mention that he suggested the podcast to his dad, and I think that's awesome. That's actually how we increase our audience, so appreciate that, man. You are the man for that. And closing out the show, closing out the segment right now with Brother Marquise in a 305 representing Miami one time. He's calling about Antonio Brown, that situation. Cautious Raider Nation, why this is not a good idea. Here he is, Brother Marquise in the 305, repping Miami one time.
Raider Nation, it's your Brother Marquise in the 305, calling in regards to all this Antonio Brown stuff I hear. I hear a lot of people talking about, hey, the Raiders are bringing Antonio Brown. I'll tell you this. Well, if we're going to bring in Antonio Brown, then we might as well say screw it and just go all in with the most talented knuckleheads you can get, right? I mean, so why don't we just give up our number 27 pick, maybe throw in their Kelce and bring in OBJ, and then trade your number 35 pick and bring in Antonio Brown, then sign Le'Veon Bell, and then bring all these knuckleheads into your locker room when you're trying to build a program and see how that gets you when those guys retire, flame out, or whatever else is the case. You know, while it is tantalizing, guys, and don't get me wrong, if all of a sudden they make a move for Antonio Brown, I'm going to be the biggest Raider fan on board, but can't fall into that trap. You know, when you're building a program, you have to build it with the right kind of guys. You can't just bad teams can't bring in guys like Antonio Brown and be successful. They will not be the lead guy anyway. Think about any time a big name player leaves from one team and goes to another place. Randy Moss came here. How'd that work for us? It doesn't work like that. Cancerous players need to have stable locker rooms in order to be successful. And if you bring in Antonio Brown into an unstable environment like the Raiders are right now, then he's going to be a maniac, or he's going to act like a fool. John Gruden's going to say, screw him, and then not play him. Then you get nothing out of it. So I'm not a fan of Antonio Brown because, you know, I love him together with the OBJs, the Le'Veon Bells, and all those other knuckleheads who are super talented that for some reason their teams have given up on. And think about it. Think about that. Why are these guys even available via trade? They're that good. So you know there's something really, really wrong in that situation. So don't fall for it, Raider Nation. Build it the right way. Draft the right guys. Bring in the right free agents. Build your program the right way. Don't sit there and try to take shortcuts by bringing in all these troubled, talented players. You know, maybe you can sneak away with one, but it's hard to do that when you don't have an established locker room, guys. All right, Brother Marquise, out.
All right, good stuff right there, my man. I have to say I agree with everything that you had to say. I definitely agree with Brother Marquise and all his thoughts on Antonio Brown and why he should not be brought into the Raiders. I agree. With that being said, I do think John Gruden's going to try to do it anyway. I've been saying that for a while. That's why I said, what would you be comfortable giving up if you were in that position? Not if you were in favor of him bringing him in, because I don't think that that even matters. I think he's going to pick up that phone and call Pittsburgh and try to get him regardless. But I do agree with everything you said, Brother Marquise. Not a good idea to bring a dude like that into a locker room that's fragile. That locker room is not strong enough to hold a dude like Antonio Brown. It's not strong enough to hold a dude like Lev Bell. Sure as hell ain't strong enough to hold a dude like Odell Beckham Jr. Any of those cats, man. I mean, again, I feel like the Raiders really need to build themselves with the draft and then, you know, fill in a couple little holes through free agency. But you got to really be cautious with what you bring into that locker room. So I agree 100%. But again, I think John Gruden, who, you know, is smarter than everybody in the world, thinks that he can handle it, and he loves him some AB. He compared him to Jerry Rice. So, I mean, that's all I got to say. He's definitely going to make a call. Calls will be made. Now, if they're responded to, if they are agreed upon, that's another subject. But calls will be made. So, great stuff, Brother Marquise in the 305, repping Miami, Hakeem in Oakland, Sean in Salt Lake City a couple times, P.E. in North Carolina, Smith Raider in the ATL, Victor in Cali a couple times, Vader Raider in the 303, and of course, Marco Raider kicked things off with us today. Definitely appreciate that. It should be a fun week of calls. It should be a fun week of podcasts. Hopefully we get something finalized really, really soon on the stadium situation in the city of Oakland, and that comes to a close, and we can move on and really dive a little bit deeper into the offseason. But it is fun, and it's been a fun offseason so far for us here on the podcast, and it looks like it's going to be a fun offseason for NFL in general. So until Tuesday's episode, Raider Nation, as always, just win, baby.